Welcome to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast with Jessica and Kristen. Hey everyone, welcome to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast. It is, well, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon where I am. Kristen,
it's
where?
It's 5 o'clock. It's five o'clock here.
Oh, you're right. Okay, 3 hours. Normally, we start off every podcast with asking what we're drinking.
But what are you drinking today, Jess?
Nothing. I'm not drinking anything because I've decided that as of today, I'm going to try and refrain for a couple weeks.
So today's
I'm
going to
last
one.
4 days. Today is day one. And you know how I set myself up for this? I set myself up to succeed by drinking all the vodka I had in my house this weekend.
Oh, perfect. So you don't have it.
No, it's like when you go on a diet and you have to eat all the chips.
I was just going to say, I do that with cookies too. I just throw them all out.
I did it with, you throw them away? No, you have to eat them.
I eat them to prepare.
Well, like last night I was like, okay, so I'm no more vodka, no more chips. So I just like got rid of them all last night by ingesting them.
Wait, no more chips?
I'm attempting it.
No. That's too much for one, like one cycle.
You're right.
I think you can, you know, if you don't want to drink alcohol for a couple weeks, you still should be able to eat chips.
You can't give up all vices at once is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So what you're saying is I've set myself up to fail.
I think you've set yourself up to last 2 days instead of four.
Okay. All right. Or 2 days instead of 14.
Right.
See, that's what I do. I get all these like grandiose plans in my brain.
Right.
And I like, I don't half-ass it. I like go all the way in and then I all the way fail.
So I'm actually not much of a drinker. Like I just do when I go out with my friends or whatever, but I'm not, a lot of my friends are like 5 o'clock every single night have a drink.
That's me.
Yeah.
See, I don't like to go out. Nor do I like to go out and do anything. So drinking at home at 5 o'clock is perfect. And I mean, I probably sound like an alcoholic, but I'm not. I have like
two
drinks in the evening, strong ones.
And it's always a mixed drink?
It's almost, it's always vodka or tequila. Mm-hmm. And then if I don't have either of those, then wine. And then if I don't have wine, then I'll pilfer a beer from the garage fridge. Mm-hmm. So, well, you know how we're starting off today's podcast. We're starting it off the way that all of our guests started off with us when we're drinking and they're not.
That's true. Totally sober.
We've just turned the tables on ourselves. Mm-hmm. All right. So what are we going to talk about today? We've got a few things we wanted to go over.
Well, I made you wait to open your package until now. So,
okay.
So you were just handed your mail.
Yeah, Dave came up, he went and checked the mail, and he handed me a record envelope. And it's from our friend, Jack, and I'm going to open it. Just because you were like, hey, we have nothing to talk about. Open your mail on the...
Open your package.
Oh, Jack sent a ton of stuff. So he did some visiting down in California a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
and
right.
he went and saw a bunch of face-to-face related folks. Mm-hmm. And he scored some really amazing collector stuff. And he sent a package with a whole bunch. There's promo pictures.
What?
Self-titled CD stickers. Oh, my God. He sent a ton of stuff. I can't even get into the cellophane. And what originally was supposed to be sent was... Fat Music compilation. I'm just going to open it up and I'll show you because it's one of the hardest, it's a super hard one to find. And I think Dave and him had chatted about it and I think it came from Trevor directly.
Wow.
Dave's probably holding back from saying something. So it's the Fat Music for Wrecked People. From the cruise. It's the Grows Cruise 2016. So it's one of the compilations that Face to Face is on that I needed for my collection. Mm-hmm. And it's... I'm just pulling it out of its package now because Oh, it's so pretty. Look at it. Can you see it?
Yeah, it's like, is that pink or red?
It's marbled, kind of like a magenta and green. Super cool.
Yeah, that is so really cool.
So, if Jack's listening, thanks for sending the stuff. I'm going to go through the other stuff after, but there's a ton of stuff in here to look at.
So, do you think you get Jack's hand-me-downs? Like, he gets all the stuff. He gets all the stuff from Scott and Trevor and everybody, and then he decides, like, well, I already have two of these, so I'll send one to Jess, and I already have one of these, so I'll send it to Jessica.
I think definitely part of it is that, because he has everything, right?
Right.
So,
well,
he always...
still super thoughtful, but it's just, I can't imagine him giving you something that, like, he doesn't have already.
No. So, whatever he does have, but, like, this stuff that's in here, if you look at it, this is, like, one of the very first promo posters.
Mm-hmm.
Which is rare. And then, like, some of the original stickers that were first pressed or made or whatever. What do you say? See? So these are super old. Jack has a pretty amazing sticker collection as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. Amazing. Thank you. Good package.
Yeah. That's so nice.
It's pretty awesome. He told me that he was sending some stuff that he had kind of gathered while he was on his California trip. So thanks, Jack.
Yeah. Well, and I saw that video too that Scott made.
Oh, yeah.
He said hi. That was so cool.
That was nice that they were thinking about me or thought to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know I felt like a celebrity on the fan club when it got posted. And I'm hardly such, but it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. No, everyone knows you're one of the admins on that site.
Yeah. But then to get a direct shout out like that was kind of cool.
That was very cool.
It made me look cooler than I am. So the package was the first thing we were going to chat about.
I know. And we're both sober and boring. And we were trying to come up with other ideas of things to talk about. And we do have a couple fan questions that we can answer.
Yeah. We had sent out... what was it, like a Facebook post or something and we were asking some of our followers or people that read our blog or whatever to ask us some questions that we could just answer.
And we got some good ones.
We did get some good ones.
We got some not so good ones.
I was expecting a lot more like perverted questions.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe I was hoping. Maybe I was hoping.
Yeah.
That
would be fun.
So I guess we can also say today is the 21st anniversary of the release of the Goldfinger self-titled album. So last year was 20 years. It was a pretty big deal. Today is the 21st anniversary.
Yeah. That was so funny because when I first saw that on Facebook, our friend Chris posted it and he said, Goldfinger's self-titled album came out 21 years ago today. What are you guys doing about it? Like, what are we doing about it? And first of all, I thought 21 years, like, it's not 20 years or 15 years, but 21 years. What are we doing for that? It was just kind of a funny question. But...
We're doing episode 4 of the world's most boring podcast.
That's what we're doing.
We're really going to make Goldfinger proud.
Yeah.
That we use their name.
Right.
So anyway, happy birthday, self-titled Goldfinger. Maybe we
That album is so good. The whole thing.
Start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can close out today's podcast by playing a different track off the album because we open every show with Mabel, but maybe we can end today's podcast by playing a different track off the album.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Which one? What do you think? Do you have a favorite song on that album?
Here in Your Bedroom. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the Fuck LA one because
yeah.
It just makes me laugh. And the first time I heard that, I was living in Seattle and I was in high school. And I remember I was so anti-LA at the time. Like, I loved all the bands down in that area and everything, but I just could never picture myself living there amongst LA people. And so to hear that song, it just made me laugh out loud when I first heard it.
Resonated with you.
Yeah. And I would just scream it at the top of my lungs.
That's a good one. We should pick a song and close out today with one of those.
We will. That's a good idea.
Okay, so that's what we're doing for the 21st birthday.
We're playing a different Goldfinger song on a podcast that will be broadcast like 2 weeks from now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we can just say happy belated birthday.
Right.
Right? That's what it is.
Yeah. And we did reach out to John to get permission for the Mabel song. I emailed him and I direct messaged him on Instagram, I think. Mm-hmm. And I found his work email online. So I don't know. I tried a few different things and he just never got back to us. So I don't know. We just kind of decided to go for it. Use the Mabel song in our intro. Because it's literally like 10 seconds.
Yeah. I mean...
And we have 4 listeners.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we... I mean, I don't know what he would do about it. Would he do something... I mean,
could
if he did...
Could he sue us? Like...
here's my...
We'd have to give him a t-shirt. Like, that's all we have in our business account.
We have a couple t-shirts and... Oh, we have stickers. We have a couple stickers.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just send him some for free.
I keep forgetting those, by the way.
We should mail him some for free and just say, like, hey, by the way, thanks for giving us permission.
Right.
Permission
by omission, by not saying anything. We just went with it.
That's like what a kid does.
Right.
Right. You didn't say,
it's
no, I couldn't have the cookie.
Yeah.
So, I just
went with it.
Am I moving around a lot again?
No, just that one time you touched.
That one I hit my mic. For those of you that are listening, we tried to start this podcast like 4 times and we fumbled a lot. So,
We're trying to get our audio quality better.
Yeah. I also think it's funny that we're talking on Skype right now and your voice doesn't match. There's like a delay.
Yeah, I noticed that with you too.
So one of the other questions we had, should we go over the one from our friend Shannon?
Sure.
Okay, so she wrote us a pretty big email. Are you going to read the whole thing?
Yeah.
It's a long
one. Question.
It is. It's really, she did a good job with it. So
she did. I'll paraphrase a little bit.
Okay, so go ahead.
Okay, this is from our friend Shannon. And she says, I truly dislike people who are ignorantly judgmental or who stereotype. With that being said, what really irks me are the occasional comments from people about my punk lifestyle. Obviously, I'm talking about music tastes, apparel, tattoos, etc. And I personally am pretty tame appearance-wise. I don't color or shave my hair, although I hope she shaves her pits. I don't have a mohawk. I don't have piercings, which, in my opinion, there's nothing at all wrong with that. I totally embrace all of those looks. They're super rad, but they're just not for me. So anyways, back to my beef. People tend to look down and stereotype all punks as menaces to society, troublemakers, or worse, skinheads, etc. Unbelievable. As rad punk rock women, I feel sometimes we are expected to look a certain way. God forbid we all don't look like J. Crew models. Perhaps one's demographics need to be considered too. All of those factors are significant. On a positive note, I know times are changing and women are breaking out of the mold. Tattoos are becoming mainstream, but I still often run into situations where I'm having to stand up for my punk rock community and people. What are your thoughts on this subject?
It's a loaded question. There's a lot.
There's like 10 questions in there, but they're all really good. Because there are things I think about all the time, especially because I don't look punk rock at all. I have a few tattoos, but other than that, I haven't dyed my hair since college. I used to dye it all crazy colors in college, but I haven't since then. So it's kind of long. It's always in a ponytail because I'm boring. And so I don't typically look punk, except like at a show, I'll wear a band shirt or something. But other than that, I don't look the part. And in fact, this is kind of interesting. I met this other punk rock girl recently, and I was telling her about our site and trying to get her, you know, kind of interested or whatever. And she showed zero interest. She was kind of rude about it, actually.
Do I know who this is?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a random person in Boston that I met.
Okay.
And I'm not going to get any more specific than that. But anyway, so I like gave her our card and I was like, oh, you'd really like Mabel Syndrome. And she's actually dating somebody big in the scene, I guess we could say.
Okay.
So anyways, I gave her the card and she looked me up and down and like tossed it aside and then just walked away.
I'm laughing. It's not funny, but I am laughing because it's bizarre that another female
girl
that like that's the response.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I was talking about it with our friend Jay, actually, and I was like, because he kind of knows this person, and I was like, what do you think the deal was? And he goes, well, I think, like, you didn't look punk, and she probably just, I don't know, was kind of weirded out or whatever. And so, I mean, I get that a lot at shows, that people will say you don't look punk or whatever, but I've just come to terms with it now. Like, it's just, it's who I am. I don't. Just because I don't have a mohawk doesn't mean I can't like a certain type of music. That makes no sense.
Yeah. That's interesting that it was another girl that did it. Like, I don't think I've ever been at a show and had any kind of communication with another girl and, like, based it, you know, based anything on the appearance of that person.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't notice people's appearances. Of course, that's, like, a normal human thing to do, but to not carry on something further because of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, interesting. Yeah, I think that, I mean, I don't know, when I was younger, I think I went more into how I was, my appearance, you know, maybe a little bit more of the rebelling stuff. I mean, things are just so much more commonplace now, right? Like, I remember when there was no, you couldn't have tattoos to work certain places, and you couldn't, I mean, I guess it's still that way, but that plays into the demographic part of Shannon's question too, right? Like, maybe the demographics have a, play a role in what's acceptable and what's not. I mean, I think where I live is very acceptable of all of that stuff.
Yeah. So you and I both typically work at schools. I work I've worked at a high school for 15 years now. And I still get uncomfortable showing my tattoos, though, because I have one on my foot. And so in the summertime, I want to wear cute sandals or strappy sandals or whatever. And my tattoo is just there. Like, it's right on the top of my foot. You can see it coming from a mile away. And I still feel like it's a little weird. I mean, I'm with teenagers. Half of them have tattoos themselves. But I tend to either kind of hide it or not wear shoes that show it or whatever.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I had, like, I've got, you know, my arm and my back and everything, and it's totally, like, there's no, I wouldn't even think about it.
At school, you would wear, like, a tank top or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah. And jeans and, you know, and I have blue hair currently, you know. But it's, I don't know, I just find it totally acceptable, I guess. I think if it wasn't, I don't think I could work at a place.
Well, I've never been given shit for it, ever. No one's ever said anything. I'm just self-conscious about it. And I feel like because, I don't know, because I'm in a high position at the school, I don't know if that plays a role in it. Like, I'm not just a cog in the wheel. I'm like one of the head people at the school. So
who says cog in a wheel?
Is that not the saying? What is it?
I also, like, you kind of just called me the cog in the wheel. What the fuck is a cog?
Isn't a cog like, it's a little piece of the machine.
Fuck, I'm Googling this. Cog in a wheel. I'm going to Google exactly cog.
There is some saying that's cog.
Oh, it came up. It came up.
See?
Cog in a wheel. It's on, what is a cog? Okay, hold on. Oh, there's like an actual explanation of, I can't get a thought out. A cog in the wheel. He was just a small cog in the large wheel of organized crime. This warehouse is an important cog in our distribution machine. Hmm. So even
you guys don't say that in Canada?
No. I've never heard that before
That's
in my
really
life.
That's really funny. But now I do feel bad because I'm like, yeah, you're a cog in the wheel. You can have tattoos showing and no one gives a shit.
Right. You kind of just, in a roundabout way, you were just, yeah. I'm tired of working this thankless job. I don't want to be just a cog in the wheel. I feel like if I said this to anyone, their reaction would be just what I had.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, I understood it. I just,
okay.
I interrupted your whole story because I got sidetracked on that.
That's okay. No, I was just saying that. I don't know. I don't even know what I was saying. I meet with parents and teachers and students all day long, and I just get a little uncomfortable when, if I were to have a big tattoo showing.
So it doesn't feel professional.
Yeah.
See, most parents here have tattoos, mm-hmm. and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not a rare breed.
Right.
So, I mean, I am a rare breed, but you know,
yes.
not in that sense.
Right.
So,
Well, maybe it's a community too, because I worked in a predominantly Jewish community, and I think you're not supposed to get tattoos if you're Jewish.
No, you're not.
There's something like you can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that was part of it too. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, of course, some people did and some kids got tattoos. I talked one teenager out of getting a tattoo on his neck. Because he was like 16 and he wanted to get a giant tattoo on his neck. And I was like, dude, like I like tattoos. They're great, whatever. But can you just wait on the neck one? Like, just wait till you're 18 for the neck one, because that's a big commitment.
God. What was it? I wonder what at 16, what would you get tattooed on your neck?
Oh, something stupid.
Oh, yeah. Yay. I'm just picturing a 16-year-old with a neck tattoo.
I know.
What is that, like grade 9? Who tattoos a 16-year-old on their neck anyway?
I know. I guess people do.
Obviously a highly reputable place.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get it, though, so that's good.
That's good. Job well done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I totally feel Shannon's question in terms of, you know, the image we're supposed to have and...
Oh, you know what this made me think of, too? So, you and I both, we were talking one time about how when we go to shows, we wear, like, jeans or, I don't know, ripped pants or whatever, and, like, a band shirt. I usually wear some, like, cut-up band t-shirt, and I just look like a dude trying to blend in. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you were saying when you went to California that all the girls at those shows were wearing, like, dresses and heels.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine wearing a dress and heels to a punk show.
It was the most mind-boggling thing. Like, I mean, I guess I live in an area where it's cold, like, 10 months out of the year. So there's not a whole lot of opportunity to wear a skirt to or a dress or whatever to a punk show. But, I mean, like, I remember because when I was in California and I had met all these people in person for the first time, and when we were all getting ready for the show and like everybody kind of goes into their room to get changed and stuff and like do their makeup, and we all kind of like conglomerated after we got dressed. And I remember being like, I look like a dude because they all were so, and then we got to the show, there were more girls dressed that way in, you know, platform heels and mini skirts and like, not like fancy, you know, definitely like a casual, you know, outfit still. But yeah, I've never, like, wearing a skirt has never even entered into my mind about that. So,
I actually have a kind of a funny story about that. So, last year I saw some shows in Florida. There were some, Less Than Jake album shows, and I happened to be there for work. And so I was wearing this dress with Converse sneakers. It was, like, kind of cute, not fancy. A black dress with Converse sneakers. So it was cute, but not fancy. And we ended up going straight from drinks and dinner straight to the venue. And so I felt really weird. I was like, this is the first time I'm wearing a dress at a punk rock show, and I felt fucking weird.
Yeah.
And nothing against it. It just didn't never occurred to me. So the fact that these girls get all dressed up, I think, like, more power to them. I think that's rad. I wish I took more time on my appearance.
I was jealous about it. They all looked so awesome. And you know what else? I was sweating. I was so fucking hot because it was California in July. And these girls all were very comfortable, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I loved how they all get dressed up. It's totally different than where I'm from. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a girl wear a skirt or a dress to a show. Yeah. Ever. Until I went down there. And then they were all dressed up. They all looked so good. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm going to add that to my bucket list of life.
Yeah.
Wearing like a skirt to a show one time.
Yeah. And the other part about Shannon's question about, you know, the stereotype of punks being menaces to society and troublemakers and things like that. I don't feel like I can speak to that because I've never really looked that way. Like, I've never had a mohawk. I don't have that look. I don't, you know,
right.
People are more surprised that I listen to punk rock than the other way around. And I just have seen so many rad and met so many rad punk rock people. So if I see someone with a mohawk walking down the street, I actually want to go talk to them and meet them. I don't have like run away, you know, instinct. I have like, oh, that's a cool person.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel lucky that I can't really speak to that.
And I guess it's demographic as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess here it would be, I don't know. But you see, there's not a big community up here. There's like five of us where I live.
Yeah.
So it's not a commonplace thing. So I guess maybe in that case it would stand out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. I'm glad she wrote that in for us.
Me too.
You had a good question for me today. So are we moving on?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's move on.
I feel like our transitions aren't very smooth because we're not drinking. So you had said today
so I was thinking about some of these cruises that are coming up this spring and this summer, and punk rock bowling is coming up as well. So there's all these big festivals that happen in the spring and the summertime, and I've never been to any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been to small club shows to see my favorite bands, which is rad. But I'm trying to think of which bands would have to all be at one of those shows for me to go. Like, which three bands would have to be there for me to say, fuck, I can't, like, I have to go. And so I want to pose that question to you.
So, I mean, you already know my answer. I mean, the whole world who knows me knows my answer. Like, if money wasn't an issue, I'd go to every face-to-face show possible. I don't care where it is or what the other bands are, or I will go. Except for we did have tickets when I was in California. So they did the private show at the private show, and then they did the festival the next day, and then they did the observatory on the third day. Well, on the second day it was like 110 degrees, and we just couldn't fathom going to the desert and dying for a 30 minutes, you know, set. So that was
How did it feel to miss it, though?
It was hard. It was a really tough decision. We all, because all of us that were going are such big fans.
Yeah.
But even the guys, and I mean, Scott was like, dude, why are you coming? It's going to be awful. It's going to be so hot. Like, don't waste your time. Because it was quite a good distance away, and it was hot, and it was, you know, a short set. And we were going to see them
the day before and the day after.
Yeah.
But I get like depressed and grumpy if I know one of my favorite bands is in town and I can't go.
Exactly.
I'm like, they're right there. They're 20 minutes away and I can't go to that show for whatever reason. I'm sick or some family obligation or something like that. I get like grumpy. It sucks.
I think if money wasn't an issue, and like, I think we're both on the same wavelength of, we both don't like festivals, right? Like, festivals are not the way to go. I'd rather be at a club show. It's hard to spend that much money for such a short set time with so many people. Like, that's how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how you feel, too. But it's, I think for it to be, like, three really amazing bands, face-to-face would have to be one of them.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, there's a lot of bands I would like to see. Like, I've never seen Less Than Jake play, ever.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Goldfinger. I've never seen... who else haven't I seen that I really want to see? I feel like this is a question I should know the answer to right away.
So even though, spoiler alert, we talked to Jesse Michaels last week, and he said, no Operation Ivy reunion ever. But I would drop everything.
Yeah, me too.
If I heard that was going to happen.
Me too. That would be, I mean, that would be pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of those bucket list bands that you've never been able to see. Like, I mean, Propagandhi was a bucket list band for me that I had never seen them play, and I got to see them last year. But I think it would have to be, like, three bands that I love, and not, like, 25 bands and three that I love. Like, it would have to be a small... Mm-hmm. We sound like show snobs. I mean, I'm not.
No, it's because I don't see myself going to a festival, and I only have a few friends that are really into punk, and you live on the other side of the country. So if we were to meet somewhere, we would have a good time. If we went to punk rock bowling in Vegas or something, oh my God, are you kidding me? We would have a blast. But
yeah, but I'd rather hang out with you than go to the festival.
Exactly. We would just sit by the pool and talk and drink and get wasted, and we'd be like, oh, what bands did we miss?
Exactly. You know, I don't think punk rock bowling is my type of gig. It's too hot. There's too many people. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, punk rock bowling does have club shows usually associated with it, but you know, I would go on the cruise. I'd go on the cruise.
You would?
Yes. I'd go on the cruise just for one band.
Yeah.
But that's, again, it's the money and that sort of thing.
Right. But if money was not an issue,
mm-hmm.
then anytime face-to-face was on a cruise, you would go.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I think maybe it would have to be another bucket list band or something as well, but mm-hmm. Real Big Fish was pretty amazing. I'd love to see them again. Mm-hmm. So that would be a pretty good one. I feel like I could follow them around and watch. You know, like there's not a lot of bands you travel for, but I feel like that's one of them I would like to.
Because it's just always a good time.
Yeah. Like you, it's always going to be a good time, and it's always mm-hmm. going to be fun and upbeat and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
What about you? What would be like your...
The only band that I've never seen... I guess there's two bands that I've never seen that are still on my bucket list. Because I crossed a lot off in just the recent years. But Snuff is one of my favorite bands. And...
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, I love them.
Wow.
Yeah, they're awesome. And just to watch... So Duncan is the singer, and he also plays drums. And I'm like, how the fuck does he do that live? Like, that... You'd have to be winded, and you're playing, and I don't know. I don't know how
that's crazy.
That.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really awesome. So I would love to see them. But I would prefer it was at like a small pub in in England or something, as opposed to a festival. But you know, they're on my bucket list. And then I saw Suicide Machines way back, like in the 90s. But they are one that they've been playing a few shows here and there, and reunion shows. And I would love to catch them.
Have you seen Misfits?
No.
No, that'd be a good one. I'd like that one.
That would be fun.
But
other than that, like my absolute favorites are NoFX, Bad Religion, Less Than Jake, and Mill and Colin, I would say.
We have a lot of different musical tastes.
I know. That's kind of cool, though.
Isn't that funny how we have like of everything you just like Mill and Colin would be in my top five. But like Bad Religion,
NoFX wouldn't...
I mean, yes, but... I've seen them a few times, and I feel like I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I do have to say face-to-face rounds out my top five.
Okay.
So that's, we have that.
But, like, Bad Religion, I have, like, zero desire.
So good live. They sound amazing.
I saw them once. Mm. And I'm good. it sounds awful, but I guess for me, you know what the difference is? Is you live 20 minutes from venues...
Yeah.
My closest venue for a show is 2 hours.
Yeah, that's
so,
a big difference.
So it requires like a place to stay often. It requires travel and gas money and tickets and eating and everything. Like I can't just go to a show and come back home. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a main difference. Like if Bad Religion was playing 20 minutes for me, of course I'd fucking go.
Right.
Like
that's
there would
a huge
be no
difference.
But I'm not going to spend, you know, take a day off work, drive all that way, spend all that money, get a hotel, da 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 da. So yeah. That's the difference. I guess I should really let people know that, because I'm not like, oh, bad religion. No.
Forget
it's not,
it.
It's not what I meant. It just, there's a lot of effort and time and money required for me to go see a show. So, So I think that's like why I really have to narrow it down.
Yeah. Well, I think it's cool that our musical taste, I mean, they're slightly different.
Yeah.
they're not that different, but it's fun to have five different top favorite bands, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. See, and like Propaganda is one of mine, but not you.
No. But I've listened to them more, knowing how much you love them.
Aww.
And so that's kind of fun, too, because, and maybe now you'll check out Snuff or something. And
like, right.
It's just kind of fun to hear what other people are into.
Yeah.
And then you might be like, no, this is not for me at all. And that happens all the time.
Yeah.
But
What did I listen to this weekend? I was listening to, okay, I'm going to pull up my Spotify, because there are a couple bands that I listen to.
Have you been listening to Pew Pew Pew?
I haven't. You know what? I should.
I
should.
Know.
I wonder if they're on Spotify. So the new Menzingers album.
Yes.
I've been listening to that.
That's really good.
Super bummed their tour is coming nowhere near me. Like, are you? You're not on Spotify, are you?
No.
Okay, so if we're gonna pull up my recently played on Spotify.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, like, the things I've listened to. So, some of this is going to be awful. Alanis Morissette.
Mm-hmm. She's Canadian, right?
She is. And it's the album that came out in, like, 1994 that I listened to. It's really good. Menzingers, After the Party, their new album. I had a friend on Facebook recommend a band called Mystery Weekend. Listen to a bit of that. Operation Ivy, The Bomb Pops, Mr. T Experience, Real Big Fish, The Copyrights, The Methadones, Anti-Flag, Rage Against the Machine, and Weezer.
Oh, wow.
So those are like my recently played. And I don't know if you knew this, but on Spotify, you could, like, they gave us at the end of the year, of end of 2016, they gave us your most played songs of the year.
I saw some people post that, like, these were my top songs.
Yeah, it was really cool. I should find it, and if I can find it, I would say it, because it's actually, I was shocked at what it was.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you don't realize how much you listen to certain things.
Right. Well, plus, if I'm in a certain mood, I go through moods, right? Or, like, phases. So I'm just like, oh, I just want to listen to NoFX, like, for this whole week.
And yeah.
I don't know. I just go through phases like that. So then that would totally skew everything. And then some bands I don't listen to for years, and then I'm, like, suddenly into them again.
Oh, here we go. I just found it. Want me to tell you some of it?
Okay.
Okay, so top songs of 2016. Leaving in July by Lights Over Bridgeport. Lonely Boy by the Black Keys, Rascal King by Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, Bullion, Millencolin, Longview by Green Day, Oyster by Jawbreaker, Heart of Glue by the Copyrights, Mr. Chainsaw by Alkaline Trio, Here's to You, Bad Cop, Bad Cop. Yeah. So, like,
there's no Face to Face on your list?
No, because I generally don't listen to them on Spotify.
Oh, okay. You put the record on.
Yeah. I mean, there must be a song on here at some point. Maybe? Maybe not. Jimmy Eat World, Weezer, The Swellers. Oh, Face to Face. Found it. Do you know why? You know what it is? Because Face to Face, when they put out Protection, and they put out a commentary version on Spotify. Have you ever listened to it?
Oh, no.
Dude, it's amazing. It's so they put out the Protection album, and then they also put out a second version where the guys are sitting and discussing each song before it gets played, and they talk about,
wow,
you know, how it came about, why they chose to put it on the album, like all of that stuff. It's really, really cool to listen
really
to.
Oh, that's
really cool. So.
Huh. I wonder, can I download that from iTunes?
I don't think so.
Like a commentary version? Yeah.
You could try, but I think it's just on Spotify. You got to get on Spotify.
I know, I do. Well, like I said, artists have confirmed that they get paid from Spotify. I was anti-Spotify because I was convinced that artists don't get paid for it. I was mm-hmm. convinced it was like illegal downloading or something. And I was like, fuck no, I am buying every album. And it sucks too, because I've bought at least three versions of all of my favorite albums, because I bought them on tape or CD or two CDs and now a digital copy. And, but yeah, I've bought every single album that I love on digital copy from iTunes, because I was scared to get it on Spotify that they wouldn't get paid. But that they've been saying, artists have been saying, yes, we get paid by Spotify, and it's one of the best.
One of the best places to go listen revenues. To our music.
Yeah.
So in that, what was the last album you purchased? These are questions people have been
right
asking us.
it's so boring. I don't know. I really like the new Polly album.
Ah.
That came out last year. That's on my top.
And was that the last album you purchased?
The Boss Lady EP, Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
Yeah.
I didn't have that before. I had a couple songs, but I just purchased the whole album.
When I was at the Real Big Fish show, I went over to Pew Pew Pew's merch stand because I wanted to buy their actual album, and their merch guy was in the crowd.
Yeah, you said that last
time. Right? So I ended up not buying their album.
Yeah.
Wonder,
that sucks.
I mean, I guess he's a big fan of the band that he works for, but
not that big a fan. He's costume.
Dude. So
can't you rock out from behind the table, behind the merch table?
Right. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Okay, so they are on Spotify.
Okay.
So I'll start listening on there and get them some money. Okay. Cool. I wish that people could see us right now, because our sign language is killer.
We need to come up with better transitions, better endings.
The sign language you just gave me was either there's a tornado. I had something in my mouth. Did I have something in my mouth? Or are you telling me to wrap it up?
I'm telling you to wrap it up.
Okay.
I'm telling you, we should wrap it up.
I was just going to say, I'm going to do the signal back to you.
That's also like crazy. Like, you're batshit crazy if I do that too, right?
Well, apparently that little sign language works for everything.
Yeah.
How long have we been talking for?
Put your finger in the air and twist it around.
How long have we been talking for?
I think over an hour.
No.
Yes, dude. Yes.
Oh, God.
I think so.
We lost all our listeners 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks to the ones that stuck it out.
And we're going to close out today's show with a Goldfinger song.
That's right.
We don't know which one yet.
Yeah. Be sure to check us out on Facebook and Instagram.
And Twitter.
Like our page and Twitter. We don't tweet very much, though.
No, we don't. Instagram is the best way to find us.
Totally.
Okay, so we're leaving you with an unknown Goldfinger song, so we haven't picked it yet. But we're going to wrap it up.
Hope you enjoy.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Now don't get me wrong, you're probably thinking we're just some trendy punk rock band jumping on the bandwagon. Like, how many times have you heard me say fuck anyway? 7 to be exact, we still have 4 more to go. Now I know LA's got some beautiful people, it's also got some great bands. No offense, Badgerito. Hell, I owe my life to this city. But I have had more motorcycles stolen here than Nirvana has songs about heroin.
You can't really surf unless you want to get hepatitis.